Stanley Foster Reel 2. So what was the technique for actually finding those mines? What did they tell you to do?
Well, you had to get the mines up.
And then you found them with the bayonet. What, you dug them by hand or?
Yeah, but to get them out of the way and make a path right through. Put them on one side and see if you could get a pathway. So what you did, you had tapes went down. So if you go through the minefield, then traffic could go through it.
Right.
That's the idea.
When you were finding them, but did you go along on your hands and knees?
Laying on your face and laying down so you were near it too.
Right, so you'd feel ahead of you, would you?
Yeah, you got your radius of, you know, your arms and there's a man alongside you so you wouldn't be missing any parts.
Did you think that was quite dangerous?
Oh, that was, yeah. That was, you know, we didn't... The dangerous part was when you got into Germany. Mm. They had very different things there, different mines.
Yeah, that's it.
They had some...
you'll be able to tell me about that later. So what else did you... What other training did you do, other schemes?
Can
you remember? So you did... you were telling me you did firing the Bren gunners. Was it crossing fire?
Crossfire, yeah. Mm. And things like that.
How did they... explain to you what they wanted you to do there?
Well, they wanted you to have a fix lines so that nothing could come in between. And the idea being that as these two lines went together, nothing could come in between it. And this was no time.
At night?
Yeah, they do tracer bullets and things like that.
What and other weapons did you learn?
The Piat. That's the, that could put your shoulder out. That was a pit bomb. That was the one for, anti-tank. Mm-hmm.
You can fire that on schemes.
You can fire it on schemes, but, the thing with that is that you had to have a very good, strong shoulder because of a heck of a force. And, of course, the bomb was big, like, you couldn't carry... Like bullets, that was quite, they were all primed, and I think you had to be very accurate with it. Mm. And the trouble was that when we tried against the Tiger tanks, it wouldn't stick. Mm.
So you didn't have much faith in the Piat?
Well, they were in training, but not when they did do a lot of damage to armored cars and things like that. Mm. And we had a go at armor car sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
They would let you go with that.
You had to go
at
those.
Mm-hmm.
Would you have liked to have gone into armored
cars? No, because if it got caught with a shell or anything, you couldn't get out. Mm. It was like a...
You felt safer in a Bren, didn't
you? Oh, yeah.
Were you apprehensive about going abroad?
No, I think once you... the day you come out with it, and you just... We went in after D-Day. Mm. We ended up in Cahir.
So. Yeah, that's it. You can tell me about that.
Mm.
So you were at Faversham, and you stayed there, did you, until you went to France?
Until we went to France, yeah.
So you'd obviously been following the progress of the war, hadn't you,
mm-hmm.
since 1939. So did you think you'd probably end up going to France, or did you think you might go to Africa? Or?
No, I thought we'd go to France because when they put us under the 53rd Welsh to make up their divvy, because we were the 42nd Independent Brigade, which was attached to the 42nd Armoured.
Yeah.
So they had two brigades of Welsh, and we made up. It was the 1st Oxford Books, 1st East Lanks, 1st HLI. Manchester Machine Gunners has made up the 42nd Independent Brigade.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what made us up.
Yeah.
So that's why they were able to put us into the Welsh Divvy to make them up.
Yeah. And then you joined, then it the Ox and Bucks movement to the 53rd of Welsh. Yeah. Were you pleased to be part of that, or would you rather have, you know, what did you think at the time?
It was a bit more ago when we liberated Sir Toggenbush. We went in first and took the outskirts, and then the Welsh went through the town, and it was a letter from the Welsh would go praising them all up and forgetting all about us. That sort of thing.
Right, you'd be able to tell me about that later. So how did you hear that you were actually going to move down to the ports?
Oh, there was a blanket, like, you know, you couldn't, no leave, and leave was all cancelled and everything else.
Do you remember when that was? Was it after D-Day?
After D-Day. Right. And then you had to wait for the weather. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, where we were in Faversham, we just then went to Tilbury in the docks.
Yeah, how did you get there?
By lorry.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, before that, we tried, they had the scheme where you had a thing that went like a ship.
Oh, right.
You had a rope.
On the side of a ship with a rope.
With a rope, so you could climb down and climb up.
Was that a rope net?
Rope net, yeah.
How did you get on with that?
Well, trouble was always your feet went in, like, you know. And it was very, you had to keep going. If you stopped, one did stop, so we had to go and get him, take him up and lower him down.
Really?
But it was to get you...
Did he stop because he got frightened, or was he...
He stopped because he got frightened.
Oh, yeah. How high was it?
Well, the height of a... You go up the side of a ship. Mm. It's quite high. Mm. Don't forget you had your full pack on your rifle as well.
Were you quite apprehensive when you thought of doing that, to you, under fire, or... Because you're... Yeah, it's quite a scary thing to do.
Yeah, but the thing was, I think the time we got over there, the beaches had been taken, so we were lucky.
Yeah, so, what was it like when you got to Tilbury? What could you see there? What was the docks like?
You didn't see very much. It was all darkened out, and you got in this big ship, and then we went in to the smaller ships afterwards.
Oh, right, so you were put on a big ship first
of all. Until you got over France, and then... And that was it.
Did they put you on landing craft?
On landing craft, and then we formed up, and then we got, I think we got as far as Cahir.
Right, so where did you land? Do you know which beach you landed on?
Oh, I got it on my meadow over there. Can I go again?
No, it's all right. No, it's all right. They'll know, won't they? Mm-hmm. Their history. So what was it like landing in France? What could you see when you landed? Because you'd never been abroad before.
No. Not unlike this country. It's wide open, you know, like hedges and things like that. You would get a little cops and things like that. That's what you had to avoid. Because they could be in... you had to avoid any enemy in there, and lanes and things like that.
Yeah.
And you had to watch where you were travelling on the lanes. And
What were the towns and villages like? Were they damaged?
Oh, they were all damaged. But apparently, for the first 3 or 4 days, you were under different commands.
Oh yeah.
Because of the mix-up of all the different, like there was the Welsh divvy and the Scottish divvy, and sometimes you could be under them.
Oh, right.
Sometimes you could be under another one.
Yeah.
And for about 3 or 4 weeks, you were like that.
Really?
So you didn't know exactly who you were under, like.
Right. So when you actually got there and you were reunited with your Bren gun carrier, so you then set off.
Mm-hmm.
Did you what in convoy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then...
How far did you go that first day?
We just got down as far as Cahir, and that was a long battle over there.
Right.
It was Conn that held us up, and we were there till the fillet gap.
Right, okay. So tell me about Cahir. What was going on when you got there?
It was crossroads and everything like that, and a lot of hold up and things like that. Fires. And
So where did you first fire your gun?
We went on this one here. It was Major. You try to get.
Was it after Cahir? Was it?
No, no, mate. That's what I got. He tried to get him a prisoner. I think it was called again. And we went down a railway siding.
And where was
that? Hang on. I'm trying to think what it was called again. What about his colonel? Colonel Howard.
Howard. He was your commander, was he?
This other one. That's queer about that.
Yeah. Never mind. You can tell me the place later. So how did you come to fire your gun the first time then?
Well, we went down this line, and apparently this captain wanted some prisoners. And what he didn't seem to realise is there was what they call signal box.
And
the signal box had a German officer in there with the cold P. And he was observing us coming down. So what he'd done, he laid on mortar for the section. But I could give him what I could do, because I was on the other side, I could cover him for her. And they mortared most of the section, and we brought back, all we could do is bring back casualties. And they didn't want us, didn't look at us bringing them back, but we had an RA officer with us who was in the artillery. He managed to calm things down, or else we never got out.
Yeah.
Because apparently they had this German, because they were very accurate with their mortars.
Did your officer not know the German was in the signal box?
Well, I think he was more concerned getting the prisoners.
Wanted prisoners?
That's it. Yeah. He was called Clutch. We used to call him Clutch. Apparently, in 1939, he had his hand shot. So, whether it was a bit of a...
So his name was
We
Clutch,
called him Clutch, yeah, because he had a hand shot.
But his name was Colonel Howard, was it? No.
Colonel Howard was he became our colonel later on, he was second in command, he was. He would put your mind at ease anywhere.
Yeah.
Well, you walk around the shilling and no hat on.
Really?
Mm.
What did you think of that? Did you think he was silly?
No, I think he was, he led the men from the front. He didn't lead from behind. Which a lot of them do.
Who else did you have? I mean, who was your sergeant?
Tom Tyler and no, that's right. The sergeant was wounded down there, and the corporal was wounded
in that incident.
They were wounded.
Yeah.
But of course, the thing is that. We did find with the Germans, very, very crafty. If you had pips up or stripes up, you were the first casualty for snipers. Yeah, because we found that something new. Snipers up a tree. And they could kill 4 or 5 of your leaders before you knew who you were.
Right. Mm. So in your brain carrier, did you go in, how many brain carriers would there be together?
Oh, there'd be one for each company. But then it was a brain gun carrier section, which was separate altogether.
Right. Which were you in?
I was in A company, brain gun carrier.
In the A company.
But then every so often, somebody else would come over and take over, and then you go back to being just only marching-like, you know.
Yeah.
But you didn't march a lot. I mean, we were around the Valley Gap for ages. Mm. And we had this near that hill, 112.
Right, let's do it in order. So Cahir was the first place, was it?
Mm-hmm. Cahir.
So what was going on when you got there?
Well, it was fighting around a crossroads.
Right.
And it took ages to try to, you know, to get through it. Right. We lost quite a few men there.
Yeah. So what did you actually do there?
Well, I was just keeping covering fire, and with A Company being the A quarters, we had to go, you know, take messages to and from and things like that.
Mm-hmm. How heavy was the fire?
Quite heavy. Mm-hmm. And
did it go on for a long time?
Went on for a long time, yeah. Mm-hmm. And of course you got all these animals and all that there in the fields. Queerest thing I've ever seen was we came across a convoy of German lorries with everyone dead and not a mark on them.
Really? All Germans?
Yeah, we had Lightning's aircraft and they strafed them. And what happened to them? All the air was taken away and put back. Now that was, to me, uncanny. It was really frightening because they were just set up.
Really?
Just set up with the rifles still. Of course, rigor mortis set in and that was it.
What sort of vehicle were they in?
Hmm?
So whereabouts was this? They were in a lorry, was it?
They were in a lorry, yeah. They were in a valley, I think. Because they were in a valley, that's where how it, you know, how they got strafed and, you know, just, it's which is really, I suppose, a once in a lifetime thing to see, really. If they'd probably been on open ground, they wouldn't have had it.
Yeah.
But because they were in the valley and it's very, you know, it's very, some of these things that come back to you afterwards.
Yeah. What effect did that have on you at the time? Did you?
Well, it didn't seem to want to go. It's just the fact, the uncanniness of the not a mark on them. Mm. You know, you see what things can do like. Because we'd had so many, well, the worst one is when someone gets shot. And they can't breathe, and they, you know, he was shot with a sniper, alongside me, Orm, he's called. He was shot alongside me, he was a sniper. They got the sniper in the end, and, but that was, it took so long for him to, that's the frightening part, when it takes so long for him to die, like, you know, because he was shot in the chest, and, nothing.
Where was that?
That was it was here. Yeah. Because we were on the side of Colin at the time, and Hell Woman was 112 was there, and that was they had morning minis up there. Mm-hmm. When it came for you to have your tea or anything like that, they would make sure you didn't get it, like, you know. Because that was all messed in and things like that. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, Campbell packs. Mm-hmm. Make up your own.
Yeah. So what were the living conditions like?
The what?
The living conditions.
Oh, you just in a trench.
Yeah.
That's all. Mm. I think because you had all these injections, you never got any colds.
Really?
Yeah, you just stay in the trench. You didn't. There's nowhere. No place to. I think you come out of the line every so often. That was well after the Filet Gap, it was.
Right. So after Cahir,
mm-hmm.
then what was the next incident?
Well, you went then to the end of the Filet Gap.
Right.
Now, after the Filet Gap, you started going fast. Went up the,
right. And so tell me about coming to the Filet Gap. What did you see there?
Well, you were trying to stop the Germans from getting out. And we stopped most of them. They were trying to get the gap filled in. They were coming up. The Americans were driving them up. And we were trying to close them in. Mm-hmm. And that took quite a few men as well.
So what did you do in at the front?
Well, we just like infantry, just try to close it down.
Were you in your Bren carrier there?
No, I was in the trench.
Infantry in a trench,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. So could you see who you were firing at?
Yeah, we could see who we were firing at. Mm. And they had, what do you call it, lines of fire you could look at. But if we had to advance any time, the main thing was that 25-pound gun. He would lay on the lay a thing about say 100 yards up towards where they were. Then you had to move 25. Then it would lift again, and they would keep their heads down. Then you had to. That's how you had to do one like that. Then dig in.
Yeah. So you were moving forward.
Forward, yeah.
To squeeze the Germans.
Mm-hmm. To make it less for them to get out.
Yeah. How long did this go on?
It went on for, I think it was nearly a month and a half before the flag got stopped.
Really? You've been there all that time?
Mm-hmm.
It's a long time.
Yeah, because you weren't moving forward, you see. After that, it was like a race.
How did the Falaise Gap end?
It ended with a lot of the Germans getting away, and then we was able to go with no opposition.
Right.
I think the first.
So how were the Germans actually defeated at Falaise Gap?
They weren't say defeated as much as they got most of them where they were getting out, and then the rest were captured. The other one was captured there.
So did you walk through the gap afterwards?
Yeah, afterwards, then they started going for Lille. Right. That was the next time.
You went to Lille?
Lille.
Mm-hmm.
And Armateers.
Yeah, so when you got to, you, did you march to Lille or did you go in
lorries?
Yeah. Mm. What was going on at Lille when you got there?
Well, we helped liberate Lille. And
tell me about that then. So when you got towards Lille, what did you see and what did you know about? There were Germans in the town.
No, they'd have gone past that as well. They were going to try to get a line further up.
Right, okay. So and, you'd driven them through.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Was there any fighting in Lille?
Yeah, quite a bit of French were coming out on their own then. And then the Armateers was the same.
Mm-hmm.
We went back to Lille and Armateers.
So did you actually fire your brain gun at Lille or?
No, we just.
No, you just swept through.
Swept through, like, you know.
Right. And the same
there was mopping up. A little.
Tell me about mopping up. What's that?
Well, what you do is you find these little water goes and you know, they come out, you make them prisoners.
What, Germans that sure, are hiding?
Yeah, make them prisoners. But.
Did the French people in the town, did they help you with the mopping up or?
Yes, some did, but we've seen some queer things here with the collaborators.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Like what?
Any of the girls, they just shaved their heads.
Really? You saw that, did you?
Hmm.
Yeah. What did you think of that?
Barbaric. Yeah. Yeah, there's no way I would go with them. Hmm. Yeah, we have one place where we fired, that's what, yeah. We were firing at this machine gun nest, but when the Germans came out, it was about four or five women came out with them. So we could have killed them, really, by no mistake.
So you took the Germans prisoner?
Mm-hmm. Now I think the French, once they get hold of them, they don't mess around. Mm.
So it was quite an unpleasant experience all round. What did you think of the German soldiers?
Well, most of them were, what do you call it, and again, you get the SS and things like, if you come across them, you different matter, like, you know. They were.
What did you think of the German soldiers' ability?
Well, I think they were better than us, really, as regards to ammunition. Where our ammunition was all different ammunition, their 9mm were fit different, all different things. They standardised theirs, you see. They standardised a 9mm would fit that, and anti-tank would fit anti-aircraft, and the Smasher, was it? No. And it was one of them. Well, you wouldn't get one bullet, you get about four or five bullets in your leg, because it's so fast. Mm. Bruh, bruh.
Yeah.
Look at that, you know.
So the equipment was good.
Oh. I mean, the same with the Tiger tank. It was so, what it was like that. Because they had these sticky bombs. So they put something on there, the bomb wouldn't stick on it. And the armor plate was, you know, they could stand off orders, and they called them with wartime tanks tummy cookers. Because they went out a 6-pound gun up against a 17.
Really?
It's, you know, really. It's,
Who did you think you were fighting? Were you fighting the German nation, or were you fighting Hitler, or were you fighting Nazism? Who were you trying to defeat?
We're trying to fight, you know, the German nation, I think, myself. I think there was one old saying, only one good German, wasn't it? Excuse me. But that's it. I mean, especially when we had the bombing over here as well. So that didn't help, did it?
So did you get much news of what was going on at home while you were in Europe?
Not a lot, no. We saw it before it went over. But didn't get a lot of news. So. No.
Did you write home?
Yeah, I wrote home.
How often did you manage to write?
Oh, about every week, something like that.
And you got letters?
Yeah, you got letters, yeah.
Uh-huh. Right. So after the Falaise Gap and Lille and Armentier, where did you go then?
Then we went straight up to, you know when they'd done the corridor? Nijmegen. Nijmegen.
You went up to Nijmegen.
And
of date was that? Was that after the Pegasus? Not the Pegasus. The
Well, you know when they
done. Too far, you know.
Yeah, but it was about the same time as Bridge Too Far.
Right.
And with that, you were going up a corridor, and you were. You're always afraid you're going to be cut off. And we relieved some of the Dems up. That was the 43rd. We relieved some of them. And then we were taken out of the line from Nijmegen. And we came back for a rest.
Right. So what did you actually do at Nijmegen? What was going on there?
Well, same thing, just taking over and digging trenches and putting the brain gun in a position and waiting for anything to happen. Like,
so who was your partner in your brain gunner? Was it always the same one?
No, they changed, you know, we had different ones. We had one that was come from the RASC. That was the last one we had, like. And then we came back from there, and we went into a rest. That's right. And we went on leave. Went on leave to Brussels.
Oh, right, you had time. So you went back to a rest camp, did you?
Yeah, went to a rest place, and from there we went on to Brussels.
Right, so what was Brussels like then?
Oh, very nice, very, you know, very expensive, mate.
Yeah, but, even then. So it had been liberated, obviously.
Yeah.
Did you think they'd had a bad time, then?
Yeah, they had a bad time. The Dutch had more worse. The Dutch were, a bunch too far there, you know. Yes, because we took that other place. A bunch too far. We liberated Sir Tuggenbosch.
Oh, yes, yeah.
That's
Tell
right.
That.
Now, that was the only one where the 53rd Welsh liberated the whole town on their own, as a whole division.
When did you actually get to Sir Tuggenbosch, and what was going on when you got there?
Well, we surrounded it more or less, and then we went on the outskirts of the town.
Right. Where were you? Could you describe the sort of place you were?
Well, it was like a river, alongside the rivers. We went alongside the rivers, and we went around taking all the outskirts, and then the Welsh went into the village, into the town itself. And then we had a tickle. The Germans fell back into the boats, into the all the rivers went off there, like Antwerp and that. And that was very frightening. That's where the first time I come across concentration camps. And
how did you come across that?
I was in Sir Tuggenbosch.
Yeah. What was it like?
Can't describe it really. Yeah.
What was it? A wire enclosure?
Yeah, wire enclosure. And the treat of the Dutch, really, really horrible.
It was all Dutch people in
all
there?
All Dutch people.
Were they Jewish people or?
Well,
any Dutch?
Dutch and Jews, I suppose. It didn't matter what it was, only they. But they treated them.
Did you know about it before you saw it?
No. First time I come across it, see?
What, you were just driving along or were you marching?
Well, we just come across it and. And then to make matters worse, our colonel got killed there.
Oh, right. And Howard?
Yeah, no, the other one. It's in that book of mine. I've got a book there on that. You could probably only want it. And.
How did he get killed? Did you see him?
He went
killed?
Out with him, with a recce, on a recce party, with his Bregan car driver, and of course, having these things on, he got killed with a sniper, and then Major Howard took over, of course we had to be coffin made, and he had to be buried, and.
Were you in the burial party?
No. Being near officers.
Yeah, right.
And,
okay. So tell me about the concentration camp at Sir Tuggenbosch.
Well, it's.
Were the people still in it when you got there?
There were some in it, but I think they're trying to get rid of all, get rid of all the evidence they could.
Oh, the Germans were.
Mm.
Oh, right. What sort of state were the people in?
Oh, you can't describe it really.
Should have to stop you now.